Let's have a word of prayer before we get into God's Word today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for all of Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for Ambassador Baptist College, Lord. I pray that You'll just continue to bless them and encourage each one of them, every student, every faculty and staff member. Lord, we're here to worship You and we're here to learn from Your Word today. I pray that You'll use me as Your instrument. Speak to our hearts and draw us closer to You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Although he only had an elementary education, by the time he was in his teens, he could read the Bible in six languages. He later became professor of Oriental languages at Fort William College in Calcutta. And his press at Serampore provided scriptures in over 40 languages and dialects for more than 300 million people. His name? William Carey, the father of modern missions. His secret? He was a plotter. He was a plotter. He said to his nephew, he said, Eustace, if after my removal, kind of like that, after my removal, anyone should think it worth his while to write my life, I will give you a criterion by which you may judge of its correctness. If he gives me credit for being a plotter, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond this will be too much. I can plot. That is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this, I owe everything. Warren Wiersbe, one of my heroes of the faith, wrote this and also wrote a book entitled In Praise of Plotters, in which he defines plotters as those who labor with determination and drive, whether pastor, teacher, choir director, or counselor. You know, that's what I want to be for the Lord. I want to be a plotter for Jesus. I want to be a plotter for Jesus. I seriously doubt that anyone will look back at me or my ministry and say, oh man, what a great orator he was, or what a great mind he had, or what a great personality he possessed, because I don't believe that those are necessarily true, but I'd hope that they might say something like this. He just kept doing what he knew to do was right. He just kept doing what he knew to do was right. Or in other words, I'd like it to be said, he was simply a plotter for Jesus. According to I realize you can find all kind of numbers whenever you Google, but in March 2022, Barna did a survey of preachers, and 42% of pastors considered quitting full-time ministry within the past year. Did you hear that? 42%. That was up 13% from 14 months earlier. And it's actually probably low because those that have already quit were already out of ministry and didn't take the survey. This survey was of pastors, and I know that we have a variety of Christian ministries or future Christian ministries represented here today. We have senior pastors and youth pastors and music pastors and musicians and evangelists and missionaries and Christian school professors and teachers and staff and, of course, current college students and more. But you know, I really believe the message today is for anyone who's serving the Lord in ministry of any sort. Because I believe that every one of us at some point, I really do, I really believe that most of us at some point think about getting out of ministry. See, my undergrad is in engineering. I'm a mechanical engineer, worked several years as an engineer. The Lord called me into ministry. And you know, there's tough times in ministry. Again, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a musician, wherever you're serving the Lord, there's tough times. And now you're all fired up for the Lord, I hope, and you're here serving the Lord and learning. But what happens 5, 10 years down the road? Are you going to keep on serving the Lord? Now, that's crucial. Almost immediately after I was asked to come and speak here at chapel, God placed this message on my heart. And I hope that everyone listens really, really close. Title the message, A Plotter for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And I know that this passage was used. I listened to some of the messages during your 35th celebration, your Bible conference down here. And my wife listens very regularly. Of course, the boys have to listen. They're here. And we ask it. And almost every time I ask my wife, how was the speaker? Oh, great. He did a great job. I told her one day, I said, could you just tell me one day that they did a bad job so I'd feel good about coming and speaking today? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to look at that today. I believe God has a message for us from there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Point number one today. You have no doubt where I'm going in my messages because, again, I'm an engineer as well. Once you're trained to be an engineer, you're always an engineer. And my messages are like point one, point number two, point number three. You pretty much know where I'm going. Point number one, the main point, keep serving Jesus or plod. Keep serving Jesus or plod. Now, if you look down at that passage near the end of verse 12, it says, "And let us run." Run. You know, the Christian life and ministry is likened to a race. Many times in Scripture, at least several times in Scripture, and the race that God has put before us, it's not a sprint. It is not a sprint. It is much more like a marathon. Much more like a marathon. Maybe I need to go back to the, you know, okay, the freshmen say amen and the juniors say hallelujah. Okay. Do y'all ever say anything out there?
Amen.
Okay, good, good. All right. It says, "And let us run with patience." Patience. Now, the idea of the Greek word there, I'm kind of hesitant to say anything about Greek. but I think I'll try to say this word. Hupone. It means, that word patience there means cheerful or hopeful endurance. Cheerful or hopeful endurance. Now, that noun form of that word is used 32 times in the New Testament. The verb form is used 18 times in the New Testament. And right here, the noun or verb form is used 6 times in the book of Hebrews. The idea of cheerful or hopeful endurance. It's used one time here following these verses in verse 7. It says, "If you endure chastening." And then it's used 2 times in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, if you want to turn back there, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated," I believe that's speaking of when they were saved, "ye endured." There's that word. "You endured a great fight of afflictions." So he's talking to the Christians, the Hebrew Christians that he's writing to, and he's saying, you know what, you've gone through afflictions and you endured through those afflictions. And then down in verse 36, the same word is used as well. "For ye have need of patience," or endurance, "that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Now, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews as he writes this to the Christian Hebrews. He's writing to them and he's encouraging, keep on going for the Lord. Keep on plodding forward for the Lord. He reminded them that they had endured afflictions in the past. You're going to have more affliction coming up. Can I tell you, the world's not getting any better. Newsflash, right? So probably the things that I've endured in ministry probably will not compare to the things that you will endure in ministry. And when you leave this place, and even as you minister now, you need to make up in your mind, you know what? I am going to keep serving Jesus. I'm going to keep plodding forward for the Lord. A plodder for Jesus. The main point, keep serving Jesus or plod. Point number two, and there's 4 parts to this. How to plod for Jesus. How to plod for Jesus. I find in this scripture. Now, this is where I want you to be alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic, okay? Okay, I'm going to say 4 words, and you're going to, whenever I ask you this, you're going to say these 4 words, okay? Are you ready? Some of you don't look ready. Okay, the first word is pattern. Say that.
Pattern.
Lighten.
Lighten.
Own it.
Own it.
And ditto.
Ditto.
Okay, now let's say them all together. You ready? I know this is a smart bunch. You ready? Pattern, lighten, own it, and ditto. How to plod for Jesus. We're going to start with the P, or pattern. Notice what it says at the beginning. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, it's reflecting back to, of course, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we need to follow the pattern of others who have been faithful in difficult times. Others have been where I am and much worse, but they kept on plodding forward by trusting the Lord, by putting their faith into practice. And some notable examples of that is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Thinking of this idea of plodding or enduring, I believe every one of them plodded or endured, but some of them were a little bit, it seems like, longer plodders than others, perhaps. What about Noah? He's mentioned in verse 7. 120 years. Are you ready? 120 years building the ark and being a preacher of righteousness and not one soul saved. Now that's a plotter. Remaining faithful. What about Abraham mentioned in verses 8 and 9 and verse 17? He had 25 years of sojourning and waiting for a son. We have Joseph, who was faithful to the Lord. 13 years of imprisonment, but he kept being faithful. He kept plodding forward for the Lord. And what about Moses? In verses 23 to 30 of chapter 11, 40 years of desert wanderings. 40 years! And if that wasn't enough, he had all these complaining children of Israel. I mean, they were just fussing about everything. I mean, you sometimes preachers, you think your churches are bad. Just think about them. Think about Moses, but he plodded forward. And I think in the New Testament, what about Paul? He's an example of a plotter. I'm not going to read it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28, he says, I've been in labors, I've been in beatings, I've been in imprisonments, I've been in stoning, I've been in shipwrecks, I've been in threats, I've been in weariness, I've been in pain, I've been in hunger, I've been in thirst, I've been in cold, I've been in nakedness. And then verse 28, the last verse there says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You see, those of us that are in ministry have a certain, I believe, pressure in ministry. Now, I know we shouldn't. We should say, Lord, it's all on you. But we kind of feel that pressure. And I remember when I graduated from seminary, I remember thinking, you know, I don't know if any of my professors told me about this pressure. And Paul really kind of talks about it. There's a pressure being in ministry of staying true to the Word and keeping the flock where they need to be and sticking to the Word and doing all that God wants you to do. You see, we're looking at how to plod for Jesus. First of all, pattern or follow the pattern of others who were faithful in difficult times. The second part of plotting for Jesus is the L. But we're going to say all those four again. You ready? Here you go. I'm going to let you on your, you're on your own. That's good. That's good. A little bit more enthusiasm, but that was good. Not only are we to pattern our lives after those that have gone through difficult times and kept plotting, we're supposed to lighten our load. Lighten our load. It says after that, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, if you've done any running at all, I never was really a runner. I played sports, I played football, but running wasn't really something I enjoyed. I remember I ran one, I believe, 5K race. About killed me. So I'm not a runner. But the whole idea is when you run, you don't want to run with a bunch of extra weight on. And it says there, if you want to plod, if you want to run forward for Jesus, keep on going for the Lord, get rid of the extra weight. It says, first of all, let us lay aside every weight. Now, this weight could be some good things that are not the best things. You know, sometimes preachers and people that are in ministry they stretch themselves too thin and they get in so many different things They get weary and they say, you know, I think I might just quit. I'm just overwhelmed. I remember a preacher of mine down in Tennessee. He would say a good thing, if it's not the best thing, is a bad thing. You got to think about that a little bit. A good thing, if it's not the best thing, is a bad thing. So sometimes we got to set aside those weights, those distractions that aren't necessarily sinful, but they're keeping us from the best and plodding forth for the Lord. This weight could be distractions that are not in and of themselves sinful, but can bog our lives and ministries and race down and make us want to quit. And then he says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, sin that holds us back will hinder our ministry and make us want to quit. It'll hamper us. It will ensnare us. Do you realize that unconfessed, undealt with sin makes cowards and quitters and weaklings of us all? I mean, sometimes, you know, you're fired up for the Lord, you're serving the Lord, and it's like, man, I'm just, let me at the world. I want to go tell them about Jesus. And then we sin. And it's like, man, and it kind of just deflates that encouragement and that boldness. And I realize we're all sinners. We're not going to reach perfection. But we need to make sure that if we're going to plod for Jesus, we get rid of the weight. We get rid of the sin in our life and deal with it and get it out of our life. A plodder for Jesus. The main point, keep serving Jesus. Keep plodding. How to plod for Jesus. What is it? We're to the point of owning it, owning it. Know what it says. Notice what it says. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to own it. Own the race that God has set before you personally. Now, I know there's a general race and the guidelines in God's Word, and we're supposed to read the Bible and pray and tell people about Jesus and tithe and be faithful. I understand all that. But do you understand that God has a specific race for you? Really? I mean, God, the God of the universe, knows everything about you and from eternity past planned out your life and your ministry and your race. Wow. To me, that's almost like, wow, mind blowing. God has a specific race for you to run. A specific ministry for you. And can I tell you, don't try to be like other people. Don't try to be like someone else. Be the best you can be. Running your race. Fulfilling the ministry that God has for you. Now, I remember some years ago, people tried to be like Lee Robertson. You probably heard that name, Lee Robertson. Highland Park Baptist Church. Tennessee Temple University. Temple Baptist Seminary. People tried to be like Lee Robertson. Now, Lee Robertson always wore dark blue, pinstripe, double-breasted suits. That this is not pinstripe. This is not double-breasted. But people that went to Tennessee Temple, some of them went out from there and said, I want to be like Lee Robertson. And that's a good, I mean, Lee Robertson, a great fellow, served the Lord, faithful. But guess what? They bought double-breasted blue pinstripe suits. They were trying to be like him. You know, you don't want to leave here and try to be like somebody else. Now, yeah, you can follow their good example, but don't try to preach just like they do. Don't try to just look like they do. Run the race that God has for you according to the Word of God. Do what God calls you to do. Now, when I listen to some preachers, man, I listen to it and I'm like, wow. What a preacher! And there for just a little bit, I'm like, why in the world am I even in the ministry compared to those people? You ever done that? I mean, you're like, wow, I heard a really, really good message. We were able to go up to Temple Baptist the other last night where the boys and a few of the other boys here go. Pastor Bixler, man, he preached a good sermon on marriage and what it is from Genesis. And I was like, wow. And if you're not careful, you'll start thinking in your brain, you know what? Man, that was good. What? I'll just let people like that do it. No, God has called you. God can use you in specific ways. Be the best you that you can be. You know, sometimes the size of a ministry makes us think about quitting. Sometimes the size of our ministry makes us think about quitting. You know, but I do not believe that God looks at ministries in terms of size. I really don't. I think we as Americans, we say, oh, well, you know, there's a pastor. He's pastor of 3,000 people. He must really be something. You know what? God can be just as pleased with someone who pastors a church of 15, 20, 25 people. Really? I don't think God looks at it that way. I think God looks at ministries in terms of faithfulness. I think we should look at ministry that way too. And sometimes God will call some of y'all to really small ministries. Now I'll tell you, our church right now, we have all kinds of facilities. We'll seat like 500, 550 people. But we're running, bumping up. Are you ready for this? Amazing number. About 70. Are you impressed? But we need to be faithful where God calls us. I pastored bigger churches, but God has me right where He wants me to be right now, and I have to be faithful. Can I share with you two facts that help keep me in ministry? Can I share with you two facts that keep me in ministry? First of all, fact number one, God has called me to be a pastor. I have a pastor friend, a pastor of a church up in around Moundsville, West Virginia. And he said all the time, he said there was a survey. I'm not sure what survey this was, but he said there was a survey that only 10% of preachers say that they were called by God to be preachers. My goodness, that's scary. If God calls you into ministry, you need to hold on to that. You need to make sure that you've got that firm. If He didn't call you, don't go into being a pastor, let me tell you. But if He calls you, let that keep you plotting for the Lord, moving forward for the Lord. And when things get difficult and things aren't growing the way you'd like to see it, you know, just think, you know what? But God called me. I'm a pastor for the Lord. I'm a missionary for the Lord. I'm a musician for the Lord. Rest upon that calling. And the second thing is that God has called me to that place. Because when I go to a certain place to minister, I am confident in my mind and in my heart that God called me there. So that keeps me going. And you know, you might be able to apply that to students today. Has God called you here to ambassador? If so, stick. Stay here. Plod forward. Stay where God wants you to be. A plotter for Jesus. Number one, the main point, keep serving Jesus or plod. Point number two, how to plod for Jesus. And those words are? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You kind of nodded off there a little bit. What are those words? We're on the ditto part, the last point, okay? Four ways to plot for Jesus. This is ditto. You ready for this? Ditto Jesus. Follow the example of Jesus. Notice what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see that word endured? It's the same word that's used up there that says, let us run with patience or endurance the race set before us. Notice in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction or criticism of sinners, opposition, hostility of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And when you look at this, and I think primarily the way I've heard this preached, and I believe it's absolutely true, the idea is definitely to keep your eyes on Jesus in our race of life and in our ministry. Instead of keeping our eyes on the world and looking to the left or the right, absolutely keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Him and not the world. But you know, the emphasis of this passage seems to be look to Jesus because He was a plotter. Look to Jesus because He endured. Be like Jesus. And can I tell you, when Jesus went through the death of the cross, He went through much more than you and I will ever even think about doing or going through. You know, a lot of people, you know, talk about the crucifixion and everything and how bad it was the worst form of punishment and death of that time. But guess what? What made Jesus so bad was He had the weight, the guilt, the shame of the whole world upon Him. the blackness and the guilt. I mean, we sinned and fell God, and you know how guilty you feel? Just multiply that by all the sins of the whole world. Man. But He endured the cross. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He went before the Lord and He said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me." But then He went on to say, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." You see, Jesus was a plotter. Jesus endured for you and I. And He is our example. Ditto Jesus. Today we've been talking about a plotter for Jesus. The main point, keep serving Jesus. Keep plotting forward. And those words are? Come on, what were they? How to plot for Jesus. Pattern. Follow the pattern of others who were faithful in difficult times. L, lighten your load. Get rid of the weight, the distractions, the too many ministries that you may be trying to handle. Too many. And do what God has called you to do specifically. Remember, a good thing, if it's not the best thing, is a bad thing. Get rid of the sin that bogs us down and makes us cowards and quitters. The O was to own it. Own it. Own the race that God has set before you personally. God has called you into ministry and God has called you where you are if you have followed God's direction, and let that keep you on course and where you are serving the Lord. Let it keep you plotting. And the D is for ditto. Ditto Jesus by following His example. Jesus went through much, much more than you and I ever will, but He endured the cross. He endured the opposition of sinners, but He kept going. If you haven't figured it out yet, those four words spell out the word plod. I hope that you make a mental note of that or make some notes in your Bible. And sometime when you think about quitting, you can look and refresh your memory and say, you know what, I'm going to keep on going for the Lord. Two illustrations and I'm done. I remember when I was in seminary, a fellow seminarian who was ordained at the church that we were part of in Tennessee, he shared with me a story. See, what they did, they in an ordination service, a lot of times they have the ones that are being ordained on the platform and they bow and people would come around and normally pray and say a little prayer over them and lay hands on them, you know, setting them aside into ministry, ordaining them, that idea. And I suppose at the church, those were pastors and deacons, as far as I know. They filed across the platform and they placed their hands up on this friend of mine who was being ordained. And one fellow in particular, I remember him talking to me afterwards. This fellow was from Michigan, this friend of mine. Anybody here from Michigan? All right. I remember as this one guy, he told me, as one guy filed over, he put his hands on his head. And this is the kind of guy whose every hair was in place all the time, you know? And he put it, I get the idea, it's kind of tight. And he put his hands on there. And he said something like this that stuck with me for years. He said, "Don't ever, 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 ever." I'm not sure how many evers there were, but "don't ever, 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 ever quit." One more illustration. I asked a member of our church, he runs marathons. That's kind of crazy to me, but he runs marathons. He's one of our high school football coaches. He's the head coach of one of the high schools in our area. Great guy. He's been training for the Boston Marathon, and he's been pretty close. You have to reach a certain time. He's been pretty close, but then he got an infection, and now he's kind of laid up right now. I mean, he's getting around, but he's still not able to run. But I asked him in preparation to this, I said, "What do you consider the most difficult part of running a marathon?" Remember, a marathon's a lot like we do in ministry when we're serving the Lord. I said, "What do you consider the most difficult part of running a marathon?" And he said this, "I'd say the consistency to train." What are you here for? You're training, right? "The consistency to train and be ready for 26 hard miles no matter the conditions." Sounds like ministry right there, doesn't it? "During the race," he says, "the hardest part is around mile 20. When you hit that inevitable wall, but have to push through for 6 more miles and hold your pace. And he told me, that's where I lean into my faith that God will see me through. And notice this, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Wow. Man, pretty good advice for us, don't you think? Those of us in ministry, those of us that are preparing for ministry. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say at the end of my ministry, the end of my life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, pastor, if you're here today and you're a pastor, are you thinking about quitting? Are you thinking about quitting? Would you just keep plotting for the Lord? Faculty and staff, are you thinking about quitting? Faculty and staff? Pretty tough stuff y'all go through sometimes, isn't it? It's not easy. But are you thinking about quitting? Can I encourage you to keep plotting for the Lord? What about students? Are you thinking about quitting school? If you're sure God wants you here, would you keep plotting for Jesus and stay here? Keep coming back. Keep getting the training that God has for you. And what about down the road? Down the road. It's kind of like one of those messages I'd like for you to put in your pocket, as I tell our people at our church. Just put this message in your pocket. Down the road, when you face difficult times and you think about quitting, can I encourage you to keep plotting for Jesus? Keep plotting for Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to come up with something to talk about and current events or come up, use our own brain, Lord, to come up with some thought for the day. But Lord, we thank you for your infallible word, your inerrant word, Lord, your word that is perfect. Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take this with us. And Lord, wherever we are in life, whatever we're doing for you, wherever we're serving, whatever our ministry might be, and Lord, may this message, may your word be an encouragement for us to keep plodding forward for Jesus. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.